Talofa lava, kia rana, maloele lei, pakalofa lahi atu, bulawanaka, taloha ni. Welcome to AA Meeting on Air Planet FM 104.6. A warm Pacific greetings to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. My name is Amber and I'm an alcoholic. I'll be your chairperson this morning. Please will you help me open this meeting with a serenity prayer. God
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read from the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Before we start with our sharing, we will read from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a text used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism and how to live without alcohol in our lives. From the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that, while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented, unless they can again experience the sense of comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. And unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his or her recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. Kia ora, Jenny. Would you like to share?
Kia ora, Amber. Thanks. I'm Jenny, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jenny.
I came to the program 3.5 years ago. And I didn't come for entertainment or to have some fun. I came because I was desperate, devastated, and I needed help. It was a miracle because I lost my desire to have a drink. And it's been 3 years and a half of sober life, and it only gets better. Well, my experience, I picked up the drink when I was 14 years old, and I had a feeling that it saved my life, and I lied to myself because I could not drink as a normal person, and it took me 22 years to reach out for help. And I'm really grateful today because I have good life and it gets better and better. Today, I get up in the morning and I say thanks God for another sober day. My attitude is gratitude, and I feel very comfortable in my own skin. I never had before. What I would suggest to the newcomers, or if somebody who does have drinking problem and struggling, pick up the phone, try not to pick up a drink, get the list of meetings. There are meetings available everywhere in Auckland. We are very lucky, we are very blessed. Working through the steps and big book, reading the big book on a daily basis keeps us sober, attending meetings, and praying. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Dan, would you like to share?
Yeah, hi, I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dan.
My life as an alcoholic, or my life of alcoholism has it's been a long one. I remember taking my first drink like when I was around about 10 or 11, you know, sneaking beers from grown-up parties and just mucking around with it. But, little did I know that that was going to develop into a lifelong problem for me, you know. And as a teenager, you know, I got a bit older. I just started drinking heaps, and actually, my dad allowed me to drink at home when I was probably about 13, in front of him, because all my brothers, my older brothers, and that they were all working, and we had a lot of being a Pacific Islander. My dad used to bring a lot of family from overseas, a lot of cousins and people from overseas, and they used to live with us. We had like a full house all the time, and the boys used to have parties all the time. And when I was about 13, my dad was, we were renovating our house. So every Saturday used to be, you know, big working bee. All the cousins and, you know, family would come over, put in a big effort, you know. And then my dad used to put on a massive piss up for everyone, you know, drink up for everyone. And because I was in there with the men doing what the men were doing, you know, he kind of let me drink with the men, and, you know, and that's kind of where I sort of developed my drinking, you know, at a really young age. But I wasn't really experienced, you know, like the other guys, you know, because I just used to drink till I was blacked out, you know, and used to think, I remember thinking, man, you know, nobody else blacks out, you know, because I just used to drink it like it was water. But, you know, later on I realized, oh yeah, you know, I just gotta take it a bit slower, and worked out that the alcohol takes a while to kick in, and so I started pacing myself. Yeah, and then from then on, you know, just became like a full-blown alcoholic, you know. It was like just drinking, love drinking, love going to parties, love going out. And I used to get into a lot of trouble as well. And then in my 20s, I met my wife, and we started having kids and that, and you know, I started to realize, that you know, I wasn't really functioning properly as a you know, human being and as a male, because I had a lot of anger issues and just had a lot of problems, and I knew I was drinking too much, so pretty much since I was like in my early 20s, I tried to give up, and wanted to try and do something to change, but I never had Alcohol Anonymous, at that time in my life, and so I just tried to do it on my own, and throughout the years, I'd drink, I'd drink, and then when stuff got really bad, like family wise or work wise, I'll stop drinking and I'll sort my life out, take a couple of years or whatever, sort my life out, and then all of a sudden I'll start drinking again, even though I knew it wasn't the solution, wasn't good for me, but because I took that time out to sort my life out, kind of gave me that okay to sort of start back again, but I knew I didn't want to start back. I knew I didn't really enjoy where it took me, and so every time I started back, it just got worse, got worse and worse, and I was dealing drugs and just started stealing a lot, stealing from work, stealing from home, just to fuel my my alcohol craving, It wasn't only that, because we were living in South Auckland, and I used to belong to a league club out in South Auckland. A lot of the boys there, they didn't really have much, or that's the way, that was my mentality, that the boys didn't really know how to live, and because I was blessed, I thought I was blessed, to have a good life, had an awesome wife and awesome kids, and owned my own house, had a good job, I thought it was my my duty to show the boys, how to have a good time. So I used to always, think I was the person to, shout the boys and take the boys out and, make sure that there was always heaps of alcohol for everyone. But, didn't realize that, I was really just damaging myself, that kind of just, just made me, feel bad about myself, sort of, it felt good, taking the boys out and, giving them heaps to drink and stuff, and because, like I said, I got accustomed to how a man drinks, so I wanted guys to drink long, not just hard and fast, but I wanted them to drink long and go for days. So that's what I was trying to do with the boys, but in the meantime, man, my personal life was going down the drains. My wife was struggling to get through to me. I was struggling at work to keep it, hold a job down. I had good jobs, but just, get to that stage, where I was just just too selfish, you know, just didn't want to know, you know. And then, you know, there was one time, there was a couple of times, you know, where I could have got us out of a lot of debt, you know, because my sister owed us a bit of money one time, and we're, you know, we had my wife was off pregnant one time, and she was on maternity leave, and we're in debt. Oh, and we're in debt, and I was paying the mortgage, but we're struggling. And you know, there was a time I could have made life a lot easier for us, but instead of giving my wife the money that my sister was paying back, you know, because she was giving it directly to me, I just spent it on booze. You know, it was like $6,000 over a period of about 4 or 5 weeks she gave to me. And, you know, that would have just helped us out, you know, like in that time, you know, when my wife was off for maternity leave, you know, and that was how selfish I was. You know, I ended up just going out and drinking with the boys, and she used to wonder how I was drinking, you know, because all my money went to was just paying the mortgage and just, you know, having a bit of food. But little did she know that my sister was paying back money that she owed us. You know, there was times like that, you know. Even another time, my dad helped me out, you know. He gave me like $10,000, because he wanted to loan some money, and and I let him use my house as collateral, you know. So he said, oh, well, you know, take some money for yourself, and you know, he'll pay it back, and that. And yeah, $10,000 I just spent on drugs and alcohol, you know. And so yeah, you know, when I think back, it's like man, you know, alcohol's been really bad in my life. I mean, that's only bits and pieces, but you know, just really thankful, you know, these days, you know, that I've only been coming to AA for a couple of weeks, or about 3 weeks now, almost 3 weeks. And, you know, like I said, you know, I've been trying to quit for a long time, but I never had this program. And, you know, I think this is going to be a you know, game changer for me. You know, it's like, you know, I really can see light at the end of the tunnel with this program, you know, because I don't ever want to pick up another bottle, another drop of alcohol in my life. And, you know, just being able to live a humble life and go through life making the right decisions and doing the right things is something I'm going to, you know, strive for and look forward to. So yeah, I'm just really thankful for you know, the founders and you know, the people who you know, who do this program, you know, because, man, that's what really caught me when I first started coming. First couple of days I was in, and I started hearing all the people's all different sobriety dates, and you know, how long people have been in this program and they're still coming. That just really made me you know, feel good inside, you know, because it's like, far out, man, you know. I want to be able to stand there one day, you know, 30 years or 10 years or whatever, you know. And I like what they say, you know, it's just a day at a time, one day at a time. And and you know, that's what I love about this program, you know. It's like just going back to basics, and you know, and it's it's not hard, and it's, you know, it's pretty easy when I think about it. It's, you know, and, you know, it's just, yeah, really good feeling to be able to be in a program that's going to help me in the long run. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Carl, would you like to share with us?
Yeah, thanks. My name's Carl, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Carl.
And, yeah, it's a real privilege being here. And I just want to start by saying thank you to Amber and Jen and Dan. You know, I've been going to meetings for quite a while now, and there's something magic that happens in all our meetings. And when someone's sharing, the other half of that sharing is the listening. And what happens is that when you hear someone, you don't have to read between the lines because you're already there. And I find that the honesty and the unity in that honesty in each of our meetings, it just breaks those walls down. It invites you in to take part, you know, and you feel connected. You feel connected to something bigger than you, you know. And I'm amazed. I just have so many similarities to my brother Dan. The way he was brought up was the way I was brought up too. You know, examples, you know, all the examples of alcoholism and was right there in the garage, the parties that my dad used to put on and my mum used to put on too. And just all the examples of there was always dramas, you know, in my house. You know, they'd start off nice and calm and build up, you know, and then there'd be a frenzied attack on the roads and, you know, and oh, it's just chaos. Today is a new day for me. Being in recovery is just an amazing thing. You know, I knew nothing about recovery when I was growing up and out there drinking my way through life. And I did it for 33 years, you know, and out there. And I also suffered with substance abuse and all sorts. My alcoholism, I understand today, you know, I've learned a lot about alcoholism by coming to these meetings of AA. You know, AA has given me a quality of life today that I never ever imagined I would ever have. And it's changed me, you know, and I am so grateful for this program. I have such gratitude for the people in these rooms. And, you know, the examples of my full-blown alcoholism have been changed now for the example of full-blown recovery. You know, I use a little saying every now and again, and I even tell it to myself, you know, quite a few times, that if I'm in Auckland, I'm not in Wellington, you know? And the basics of that, or the simplicity of that, is if I'm in recovery, I'm not in my alcoholism. I'm not in my addiction. You know, it's just scientifically impossible. I want to cut my sharing a little bit short. One of the ways I express myself in a lot of the rooms and our meetings is I go home and I take what I've heard, take the little gems that have been shared with me, and I write music and I write songs. And been doing a lot of service lately, and I'm just grateful, you know. Recovery's given me a real heart of gratitude. It's put a song in my heart, and I just want to share a song with you this morning. It's called Down to Me. And what the song is actually all about is when we come into recovery, a lot of things are suggested, a lot of things are shared with us on how this program works. You know, and it doesn't matter how you can say whatever you want, but unless you follow it with action, it doesn't mean anything at all. So really, at the end of the day, this program and everything in it is down to me. It's down to me actioning the program. So yeah.
Thank you.
how can I say thank you for all you've done for me? Another broken traveler on the road to recovery. It's all down to me. It's all down to me. I remember, oh, not so long ago, where I used to be, thinking I was old, thinking I was free. I was fooling me, I was fooling me. It's all down to me. It's all down to me. Just want to thank you for all you've done for me. I was that broken traveler on the road to recovery. It's all down to me. It's all down to me. You said, tell me and show me who I really am. You said, tell me and show me all that I can be. It's all down to me. It's all down to me. I just want to thank you for all you've done for me. I was that broken traveler, now set free in recovery. It's all down to me. It's all down to me.
Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. Meitaki, Whawhitai lava, malo, aupito. To our AA friends and whānau for their willingness to share their stories with you, our listeners. We truly hope that our message of recovery can help the still suffering alcoholic amongst our friends, family, whānau, and within our communities. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, 0800 229 6757, and you'll be put in contact with an AA member in your local area. That concludes our sharing this morning. AA Meeting On Air will be here again next Sunday at 10:45 AM. Would you please help me close this meeting with a serenity prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
There are over 100 AA meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting On Air. Thank you to our listeners, and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6.